If you can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, we'd appreciate it.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Off to item number two. This is a discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for February 2, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda?
Mr. Chairman, staff does have one modification to propose.
Yes?
It is to continue item number 13, that is resolution 21-062, to a later meeting.
All right, thank you very much. Any other public comment regarding the agenda?
Jay, it's Nicole. Can I make a comment?
Yes, you can. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. Austin, was number 13, hang on, I just got here. Was number 13 a resolution 602?
That's correct.
So that will be postponed.
Let me just make sure we're looking at the same thing. That is correct.
Okay, I would suggest strongly that you review the paperwork that was submitted in that packet, because I'm going to ask the question, why is this even on the agenda when on the resolution it already has, that it has been passed and adopted today, with all the I's being Carmona, Mitchell, and Gilman. So it looks as if this has already been decided, which makes me wonder why it would be put forth on an agenda when it's already been decided based on that paperwork. And then secondly, how can it already have been decided when you're supposed to do that in public? Look at page 3 of 4 of that packet.
Mr. Chairman, I don't feel I can respond to that. We're on the consent or we're on the agenda approval right now. We're not actually on that item. I'd be happy to respond to that when that time comes, per your request.
Okay.
All right.
So,
fair enough.
Those are my comments.
Thank you, Nicole. Is there any other public comment? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chair Mitchell?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve today's agenda with the one change that we are going to... I'm sorry, let me hold on and back up on that motion. So should we leave it on the agenda so that we can address Nicole's question and then continue the item?
Legal? Either Keith or Ann or Austin?
I'll just say that the proposal by staff at this time is just to continue it to an unspecified date. Thank you.
Okay. How will we address that, Nicole's question, when we get to that item that doesn't exist, is off the agenda?
If the item is put back on the agenda per the board request, then all questions could be taken on that item.
Okay. Fair enough.
What do you think? Are you comfortable leaving it on and then we'll continue it without...
That's correct. So the bottom line is it's continued. It will be addressed at a later date. So the questions to be talking about, and I think Keith's still on too. Keith is on. Keith, throw in if you think it's different, but it's just continued to a later date. I think it's more of a procedural question, but at the same time, since we're not addressing it, that we can address that issue at a later date.
So when and if that gets put back on the agenda, then Nicole can ask that question.
Absolutely.
Okay, fair enough. Does that work?
Yeah, that'll be fine, and then maybe one of us can do a little digging in the meantime and see if we can get back to before the next time we consider it, just to explain what happened there. I don't know.
I don't either. Yep.
Okay. All right. Then I'm sorry for that. Back to the motion. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve today's agenda with the exception of item number 13, which will be continued to a subsequent meeting.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 3, this is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for December 15th, 2020. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any.
Chair, I have just one thing on this item.
Mm-hmm.
Item number 28 on those minutes was a motion. It was recognizing Chairman McBride, and in the minutes it states that the motion was it says I Lance Gilman in the wording of the motion, but then it states that the motion was made by Carmona and seconded by Gilman, and so I don't remember who made that motion, but if we can maybe just clarify that so that it matches in the wording of the motion and then also in the vote.
Fair enough.
So you want me to craft a motion to reflect that?
Yeah.
All right. So I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the minutes for the December 15th meeting with the correction to properly reflect who made the motion on item number 28.
Perfect. There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Aye.
All right, a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 4. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for December 30, 2020. Is there any public comment regarding these minutes? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chair Mitchell?
Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the minutes from the December 30th meeting as submitted.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 5. This is the consent agenda. Are there any comments regarding the consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment, Vice Chair Mitchell, if you'd entertain us with a motion.
Absolutely. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the consent agenda for today's meeting.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 6. This is public comment. Does anybody out in Zoom land have any public comment for us today? I'll give it just a minute here. All right, not seeing any public comment, we are going to move on to item number 7, which is discussion only. Updates and discussion from county lobbyists and staff regarding upcoming bills and legislative actions potentially affecting Story County. And I believe we have the Walker team with us.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing today?
Good. For the record, Mary Walker, representing Story County, and with me today is my husband, Steve Walker. As you know, legislature began yesterday, so things are pretty early in the process, but we do have a couple bills just to bring to your attention. First off, as you know, BDR 579 is the BDR Senator Settlemyer submitted on our behalf, and it's in regards to Story County joining the Carson Water Conservancy District. So it does a couple things. One, allow Story County to be a full member of the subconservancy district. And it also allows Story County to pay dues to the district through the existing general fund. So you aren't going to have any tax impacts. And then Steve has a comment.
Yes, the request by the Carson Water Subconservancy District also asked we include Alpine County in the legislation. Obviously, Alpine County is in California. And so you basically, one state can't dictate what another state's going to do. And so the bill will not include Alpine County. The in order to put Alpine County into the Conservancy District, the Cost of Water Conservancy District, would require that the California State Legislature pass the same bill that the Nevada Legislature does. The precedent to that is the TRPA legislation in Tahoe. Obviously, and Austin would know better than I, but the Alpine County representation in the Carson Water Subconservancy District, although not formalized now, is definitely there, and it should be, as it is the watershed, top of the watershed county. But the legislation in the state of Nevada can't deal with the California county unless we do a bi-state initiative, a bi-state legislation.
So to let you know where this bill draft is, it's still in drafting. I don't expect it to come out, maybe in about a month we might see it, and as soon as we get a draft, we'll be shooting it over to Austin and his team for review and making sure that the wording is correct, and then it will be introduced, I would suspect, sometime in March. So that's kind of the time frame for that one. Another bill I wanted to bring to your attention is SB 67. It's the Clark County Public Works bill, and we've been working with them a lot on it. It does a couple things for us. First off, it does allow local governments to do more public works projects in-house if we chose to do so. The bill would allow projects, right now the law says if a project is more than $100,000, then you have to go out to bid. That's going to change to $250,000 under this bill. So we would be able to do a few more projects in-house. Also, the projects, how you would, this is for when you select a contractor for these types of public works projects, then it's not based on low bid. It would be based on qualifications. So that's another good thing. There is a... as you know, in the governor's state of the state address, he talked about the creation of innovation zones as one of his top five initiatives. However, we don't have a bill submitted by the governor to the legislature yet. It is coming. And once we have the governor's bill, we'll be getting it to county staff for their review ASAP. So we're still waiting for the actual governor's bill on innovation zones. With that, I'll turn it over to Steve on some of the water bills.
Yes, there is two introduced water bills, AB 5 and AB 6. I would describe them as mostly housekeeping bills. AB 5 is judicial review by the state engineer on temporary application for changing matter use of water on a temporary basis, which is usually 1 year. Basically, he wants to be able to not have hearings on those applications unless there would be a conflict with an existing right. And so it reduced the hearing for temporary application for temporary water use. AB 6 is, you know what, I just got that backwards, let me back up. AB 5 is judicial review only after a decision has been rendered by the state engineer. What he's trying to prevent is that there is lawsuits filed in the district court prior to a decision by the state engineer, and typically they don't get anywhere, but he's just trying to clean up the procedure, so anytime they want to file a lawsuit, it has to be on a decision where a decision has already been made. Now, temporary change 86. And that's just discretionary to hold a hearing on temporary changes, and they would hold a hearing if there was an obvious conflict on an existing right. More importantly, I think from a water standpoint, there is three other proposals that are put out there. They're trying to address the issue of how do we convert agricultural water rights to municipal and industrial water rights more efficiently. And make them more available. So there is the basic premise will be one thing called a conservation bill. What that does, it allows agricultural water right users to implement conservation practices on their applications and then take the conserved water and lease it to another higher, better use, which is always usually municipal and industrial. In that conserved water, the state engineer would take 25% of that conserved water and make sure that goes back to the source. What it's trying to address is there's really no incentive in agricultural application to not just use your whole duty because there's nothing, you just don't want to lose your duty. The only incentive is in groundwater pumping. They typically don't use their duty because they want to reduce power costs. This will eventually give an avenue for some of that water to be conserved but not lost and go to another use. Another proposal is that it's in an Oregon law right now, and it's a water bank. And basically the state engineer or a hydrographic basin could form a water bank, and they could convert water from agricultural use into the bank for other uses, including agriculture, but municipal industrial. So the concept would be, I want to take my water right, put it in the bank. The bank then would have applicants to use the water right in the same hydrographic basin. Both these concepts are not built yet, are being discussed on about a weekly basis by basically people that are affected entities. So once a week I'm on a call with the state engineer going through the ins and outs of these proposals. They're not there yet. It's water, so they're going to be controversial. But it is basically trying to, I think, address some issues that we do need to move forward. The last one is SJR 1. It actually came out last night in the bills, although without language. SJR 1 is a Senate joint resolution to create a water appeals court. Word on the street is that the bill will be pulled, or the resolution will be pulled, basically because you'd have to, the physical impact of creating that court. What they're trying to do is address district court making water decisions, and they're basically, the premise is that the district court judge and staff don't really have backgrounds for that, and they, and basically the state engineer, maybe the state of Nevada, have been disappointed in some of the rulings that they get from district courts. So that isn't going to go anywhere, but basically the seed is planted. When the two other bills that I discussed, water conservation and water banking, come out and are refined by the task force, again, I'm part of the task force reviewing them, that we will we'll make sure this get out to everybody, and I'm sure it'll be controversial, but maybe we can move forward. On water incrementalism rules, and these are kind of big proposals, so I don't know how far they'll get.
So that's all we have at this point. Is there any questions or anything?
I don't think so. Thank you for the update. Is there anything that you need from us at this point?
Not at this point, but as these bills are coming out, we've already have about 170 bills that have been introduced, and we've gotten them to your county staff, and they are reviewing them. For the most part, I'd say at least 90% of the bills are more operational type things, like public works things and those types of things. And about 10% are going to be policy type bills, which need to come before you. So as soon as we have those, we will be submitting those to you for your direction.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Moving on to item number 8. This is discussion only. No public comment will be taken. Committee and staff reports. First, we have the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Antonoro.
Good morning, Commissioners. Nothing at this time. I have some stuff later on in the agenda. We'll talk about on that.
All right. Thank you very much. Moving on to the Fire Department. We have Chief Lonkar with us today.
Yes, good morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
I've just got a couple of items here. There's one, we're in the final leg of our negotiations with NV Energy to try to obtain more funding for fuels removal. Hopefully, by the next meeting, I can have a full packet presented to you so you can get all the ins and outs and obviously your approval to continue. As well, we're moving forward in finding a new EMS director. Our current EMS director contract expires at the end of February, and you will not be renewing. So that will be something else that I'll be bringing to you here for too long. We do have one of our paramedics that's currently working in a hospital in Ventura. It's been great. It's been a great experience for him. The district's made a little bit of money off of it. But he's down here working in the hospital. He's going to get extended another 7 days, so it'll be a 21-day little quest for him. But it's been really good for him. Gives him great experience, and hopefully we can get more people down there. And lastly, I did submit a district survey to all my staff, career, seasonal, and volunteer, just getting some of their input, kind of where they're seeing the future of the district, some things they'd like to see changed, or just give them a platform to express some their own opinions. I got more than half of our staff replied, and I have them here. I won't let other staff members see them, but for the commissioners, if anyone is interested, would like to see, they are open and available for you here in my office. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I, for one, would like to see that, so I'll get together with you. Any of my fellow commissioners have any questions for Chief Longcar?
No, thank you.
No questions.
All right, thanks again for that. Moving on to Public Works, Jason Wurzbicki, are you out there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners.
Morning.
Jason Wurzbicki for the record. How are you guys today?
Doing great, thank you. How are you? Or we already asked that.
Good. Just touch bases real quick. As you guys are well aware, the storm we had last week was pretty good. We got a lot of hours invested in trying to keep town clear and the highlands. And I have a few complaints, you know, but that comes with the territory. But the, you know, all the compliments outweigh the negative. So that's a good thing. As you can see, we're still hauling snow and trying to make room, but we're just getting ready for the next round, whatever we get. So if you guys have any questions, feel free.
Yeah, Jason, I was just curious. So NDOT has full control of snow removal on C Street, or do you guys step in on that?
What was that day you broke up?
Does NDOT have full control of snow removal on C Street, or do you guys assist them with that?
NDOT is taking care of that this year. They haven't reached out to us for any assistance yet.
Okay. Do they normally bring out a loader and try to clear some of that stuff off? Because I've had some questions regarding parking. You know, people end up parking into the street.
Yes, they do use a loader through the center of town, and they load it into their dump trucks, kind of similar to what we're doing around our areas.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Jason?
Jason, how do we do in the other areas of the county? I'm assuming that they weren't hit as hard as we were up here and in the highlands.
Well, that lane broke up a little bit. You were kind of blowing.
Sure. Yeah. My apologies. I was just wondering how much the storm impacted the other areas of the county. I'm assuming they weren't hit quite as hard as we were up here in Virginia City or in the highlands.
We had a few inches out at the industrial park, so we had a couple guys out there around the block keeping that clear as well, but the majority of our hit was up here on the hill between BC and the islands.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you and your team have done a fantastic job, so thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Jason, by the way, do you have any updates for Mike Northan? Is Mike on?
He should be on the line, I think.
Okay, great. All right. So moving on to projects, Mike Northan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple more quick updates for the board.
Okay.
First one up is Justice Court TI at the Divide Building. We are at substantial completion, and the contractor is working through the final punch list. Building came out very well. We had nice functional and modern hardware infrastructure up here. All of the life safety systems are in place and operational, so we do have the certificate of occupancy. There are some items left to be completed before we get into operations there. One of them is an audiovisual system will be installed the week of February 8th. And the courtroom furniture will be delivered and installed early to mid-March. Item number two is the communications tower on USA Parkway. We received bids for the conduit installation, and we will be presenting the bid results and a staff report as an agenda item on the next Board of Commissioners meeting on, I think, the 23rd. Item number three, the Highlands Fire Station 72. We have received design proposal from Loomis & Associates for the design of the fire engine storage building at the station. And we are currently evaluating the proposal and the preliminary design and siting considerations. This building will house the additional equipment that's being acquired by the Fire Protection District. And I hope to have a construction estimate for you by the next meeting. Last item is the new visitor center. County has one design proposal from Loomis & Associates for the design of the new visitor center at the Black and Hollow building site. I'll be meeting today with another design firm to keep the county's options open and, of course, seek the best pricing and design for this building as it would be a front-facing part of our county infrastructure. That's all I have for you guys today.
Thank you, Mike. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Mike?
No, thank you.
No.
Mike, I would like to ask, do you have sort of a ETA date on when the Highlands Community Center will be, either construction will be started on that, or do you have a finish date?
I have this broken into two phases because we have to have the storage building in place prior to opening the existing metal building up for a remodel.
Uh-huh.
So I would like the construction started as rapidly as possible on that building so we can get the existing building opened up and I can give you a better timeline on the actual meeting building.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much for that update, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. Next, communications/dispatch, Becky Parsons.
Good morning. Becky Parsons, Story County Communications Manager. We're in the process of filling a position for a communications specialist. We do have a few good applicants there, just waiting to get that round started. I have three employees going to be certified trainers. That's going to happen next week, which hopefully that'll build up our training program and provide better times of when somebody should be trained. Also, we do have a date for getting into the new dispatch center, which is going to be in mid-April. That's about it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Becky?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you again, Becky. Moving on to emergency management, Mr. Joe Curtis.
I'm here, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I didn't realize I was going to be next. So, yeah, I do have a briefing for y'all, as usual. So for today, February 2nd, Mr. Chairman and fellow commissioners, Story County is currently at 71 cases as a total. And we've been at 71 for almost 3 weeks now. So we're doing very well. We've got 55 people recovered and 2 deaths. You may be wondering, well, what about those numbers between 55 and 71, which would be theoretically active cases? They are listed separately as active cases, but the problem that arises with those is when the tracking folks call those people that are under that active listing, they don't get answers. They don't. People don't answer the phone calls. They just pass them on and so forth. So it has become a problem of trying to verify that they've actually been involved with getting better and being considered as totally recovered. So it's kind of a nebulous area that is sitting there like that. And So they don't actually report the ones as active anymore, just giving us the recovered numbers. It seems to me that as a county that we are doing a pretty darn good job of looking to try to protect our county on all aspects. I mean, every department is vitally involved with that. And over the past 12 days, we've had no new cases. So that's a good sign. We had that number 71 one here about 12, 13 days ago, I think. But the total for the quad counties since March is for out of the four counties, it's 10,786 cases. And they're showing as active within those is 3,320 cases that are still active. Here again, that number is going to be somewhat problematic for the group. But there's 7,270 that are listed as recovered. And there has been over the Quad County, of course, we've only had two deaths, but the total Quad County is 190 deaths. Our positivity rate is still way down there at the bottom, which means that for the number of cases that are number of people that we do tests on in relationship to the number that turned out positive is virtually at zero. I haven't seen any numbers that have gone up from there at this point. So the community testing program yesterday is actually in two parts. There's community testing and the community vaccinations. So yesterday we did vaccinations here on North E Street. We did about 300 vaccinations that were given out, and they were all to the 70 and plus individuals. We also did a part of that 300 is the people who returned that for their second dose that had received their first dose on January 27th. Is that right? No, that's not right. Neither of you are there anyway. Sorry about that. I lost my track of that. At any rate, next week, Wednesday the 10th, we are showing that we're going to have a COVID testing only, just testing only, and that will be at 20 North E Street, E Edward Street. Thursday the 11th, we are actually having vaccinations again. That will be next Thursday. And that's by appointment only. The only way you can get a vaccination is if you're within that category that we are currently dealing with, which is 70 plus, and you have an appointment, then you'll be accepted for the vaccination. So if you have to have that appointment. If you do not have an appointment, you will be turned away, even if you're 70 and over. That again is at 20 North C Street. Edward Street. If all the appointments for Thursday the 11th are filled by that time, we may go again on Friday, the very next day. But those people that would be affected with that would be thoroughly notified. The next vaccination clinic after that will be February 24th, and that again will be at 20 North E Street, Edward Street. And that's for second doses in the morning. For those that got their first dose on February 1st. So those ones will, of course, be appointed as well. They will all have their second appointment made. I just want to point out that shout out, as you guys say, thanks to the Sheriff's Office and the Fire Department for their participation and involvement with this whole process. Because the Sheriff's Department has provided a deputy to be on site for us, which is a requirement that we have from the state, that we have to have a sheriff's deputy on site for the vaccination clinics, not for the testing, but for the vaccination for a number of security reasons. And that's occurred. The Sheriff's Department has also made members of their CERT organization available to us to help us with traffic control. Because we do some of these, they're lengthy, we're trying to do separate the morning hours from the afternoon hours so that we're not taxing someone to have to be there that entire day. And then so in the afternoon, if we're doing whatever we're doing, then we usually will gonna bring in the Jeep Posse personnel, which also have been fully helpful with this. So again, I think those two organizations, because we literally could not do this if we did not have those two volunteer organizations and the participation of the fire and sheriff's office. The fire department provides an ambulance and two individuals staffing that ambulance to be standby in case there's any reactions from any of the people that would be getting a vaccination. And so far, we've got no one receiving a vaccination here that have any kind of a reaction from the dosage immediately there while they're still on site. They stay there for an additional 15 minutes after they get their shot. As of this morning, it appears that we'll have three vaccination sites in February, as I mentioned. The one that'll be conducted on the 11th and possibly the 12th is through our communication with and participation of the Safeway Pharmacy Group. And we were kind of laughing about it, saying, but will they bring like a food truck so we can buy food and do it at the same time? But I don't think they will. They're just bringing shots. So if we fill up the appointments for the 11th, we'll hold the second one on the next day. At this point, it doesn't look like that we're going to fill up all of the appointments for the 11th, but there's still some time. So if there's people out there 70 and over, remember, 70 and over only, that are looking to get a vaccination shot within our county, then they should call, they can call two places. They can call us the Troy County Senior Center, ask to speak to Annie, and she will help them get an appointment for the 11th of February, or as necessary, if it slots over to the 12th. The other one, they can also call the community chest, and they will also provide help with that same situation. Currently, it's only, like I say, 70 and plus. I have to really emphasize that. That because we did get a number of people that thought they could just stop by yesterday, or those who had made appointments that they were not within that field of people eligible for appointments at this time. So, we're not sure at this point when the next category of people will be opened up. That's up to the governor. And he will make that decision when he feels it's time based on the input he gets from his COVID team. When that happens, we'll know about it, and it'll be all over our web and news, and we will have ways to make people aware what the next level is that can come get vaccinations. The public, of course, is way down the road yet. So we'll keep you informed of all that sort of thing. All COVID testing for the county will be held here in Virginia City at 20 North E Street from this point forward. The vaccination process, just so you're aware, is you get an appointment, you come to the vaccination site, you park your car, you walk inside the building, you are given some paperwork briefly to fill out, then you check in at the next table, you get your shot, and then you sit in a chair for 15 minutes just to make sure that you're going to be okay, and we kind of keep an eye on everybody that way, and then you leave when your time is up. With that, that's basically what I needed to provide for you with COVID. The weather, generally quickly here. Don't expect anything significant tonight or tomorrow. We're getting to get rain, a really wet snow, which I call white rain. Then a couple of weeks of dry, some warming into the 40s, but sunny for the most part. And I hope everybody got their cars out over the weekend. So that would be the end of my report, unless there are some questions for anyone.
Thank you, Joe. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Joe?
I do not.
I don't have any questions. I just want to say thanks, Joe, for your hard work on this stuff and for helping out around town, digging some of us out.
Thank you. It's all fun. Happy community.
Indeed. Thanks again, Joe.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to community relations. Do we have Laura Mather with us today or Honey Tapley?
Good morning, yes, this is Planning Topic for the record. I have nothing new to report for community relations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honey. All right, moving on to the VCTC. Denny Dotson.
For the record, Denny Dotson, good morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
Just a couple of quick things. First of all, tomorrow morning around 8:30, we are going to give a permit to close C Street from Taylor to Union Street. We're going to have a film crew, or actually a couple of film crews and a drone, and we are inviting all of the women who work, our decision makers, business owners, what have you, in Virginia City proper here to be in the street. We're going to have be the first of four different shoots that we're doing to, I guess, put a highlight or an awareness campaign about the actual women, their history, and currently what they do here in Virginia City and Story County. So kind of a fun project that we're working on to build awareness. And then outside of that, the staff and I continue to work on budget, and we're narrowing that down. It is a definitely a moving target, an interesting year to budget, not knowing a tremendous amount of things that lie ahead of us. One of the things is that events, obviously we're pretty limited on what we can do right now. We're not announcing any big events until they're just really close. And two of those that will maybe do it, we're doing a day in Virginia City. It's designed to collaborate with our hoteliers and our restaurants, taking their reservation times and their occupancy limits and selling them as packages. So we sold out on those. So we look forward to a decent week from now when that happens. And then we're also working to go ahead with the Rocky Mountain Oyster Fry. It will not be the same. It'll be streamed down. It'll be spread out, but we're looking at creative ways to do that. So we've got the blessing to kind of move forward as long as we can fit it within the guidelines, which I think we can. And again, it'll be different. It'll be much smaller, but something that will be beneficial, hopefully, for the town. And then finally, to give you an update on Pipers, very similar. They are moving forward. I got staff putting together a monthly line dancing. We're doing monthly game night, which is actually bingo. And it's the third Thursday of each month. And then they're also working on a murder mystery play for the spring, I believe in the first weekend of May. But anyway, so we're starting to show life a little bit there again and get some activities. Obviously, we're staying within all the current guidelines. We would like to see them open up a little bit. It would certainly help. Pipers had a very tough year last year. They're going to be very much in the red when it comes to budget, with basically no revenue. You know, we've done all the cutting we can on expenses, but when you can't bring people in the building, you can't charge for a wedding or an event more than 50 people or 25%, it's very, very challenging. So we'll continue to work on that budget and sharpen our pencil where we can. With that, I'll open it up to you, gentlemen, for questions.
Thank you, Denny. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Denny?
No, thank you.
No questions.
All right. Again, thank you for the presentation. Appreciate it, Denny. Moving on to all things water and sewer. Do we have Mike Nevin with us this morning?
Mr. Chairman, Mike was not able to make the meeting. He's down there working with the contractors right now.
Uh-huh.
He wants to let you know that the water project for the tanks is moving along just fine, as you see, and that the sewer project is moving along with SNC construction. You see all the equipment, everything down in that area, moving right along.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Austin taking Mike's role today? No. All right. Thank you, Austin. We're going to move on to the comptroller's office. I have Jennifer with us this morning.
Good morning, commissioners and everyone else.
Good morning. I think we lost your audio for a minute, Jennifer.
There, am I back?
You are back.
I have nothing for today, thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Jennifer. Next is the assessor's office. We have Jenna with us today. I don't see her, so we will move on. Anything from the planning department this morning?
Good morning, this is Kathy Canfield for the record. I just wanted to give let you know that Tono Gold has had a series of exploration drilling activities happening, mostly in the Divide area and Gold Hill. Those have all been permitted. The ones close to town have limitations on being in and out in 10 days and working Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So you might see a drill rig there. They're just doing exploration activities to see what they can find. Other than that, I just have an item later on in the agenda. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Kathy? Any commissioners? Nope. All right. Moving on to the recorder's office. Marnie, you with us today?
Hi, good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. I have nothing to report today.
All right, thank you very much. Next is IT department. We have someone from IT on board.
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Just briefly, we've got about half the equipment shown up for the tape drive solution for archiving all of the Story County data. And we are also almost ready to launch our public records request portal on the website so that people can directly interact with the county using a database system and kind of automate that public records request. And that should be coming out this month. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you very much, James. Does any of my fellow commissioners have any questions?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, James. Moving on to human resources, Toby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Human resources has nothing to report today.
All right. On to community development. Fire Marshal Azevedo, are you here? I don't see him, so we will move on to community chest. Eric Schoen.
Yeah. Hello there, Commissioners, and Mr. Pomerona. No report for me today.
All right. Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
Senior Center, Stacy York.
Hello, this is Stacy York for the record. Sorry, the phone's ringing. Andy and I have scheduled about 150 different vaccinations for Story County residents' appointments. And I just wanted to remind everybody those vaccination appointments on February 11th, 70 and over, Story County only. I've been the fun person to turn away people that do not qualify, and it's not the funnest job ever. So please, if you know anybody 70 and over, including Lockwood, as long as they are Story County residents, we can schedule their appointment. Or Lockwood, if they are too nervous to drive up the hill, we do have a transportation program. We're going to kind of retrofit the vehicles to make sure we can bring everybody from Lockwood to Virginia City to get vaccinated. And we also have been handling waiting lists for Quad County residents. So they're calling us. We have about 200 people on those ones and still waiting for other appointments to open up. And as soon as they open up, we are going to get everybody scheduled. So that's all I have for updates right now.
Great. Thank you, Stacy. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Stacy?
Stacy, when you mentioned the waiting list with Quad County, are those people that are not residents of Story County, or people who are not in the cohort that's opened up yet, or a combination of both?
Combination of both. We have about 10 waiting lists. Some include Quad County. Then we have another for 60 to 65. Then we have under 60. We have one for educators as well. So we are slammed with COVID vaccine appointments.
Gotcha. Thanks for your work on that.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you for aiding in that department. It's obviously needed. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Stacy before we move on?
No questions. Thank you, Commissioner.
All right. Thanks again, Stacy. Moving on to St. Mary's Arts Center. I believe I see Ms. Erica Perry here.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman Carmona. Good morning, Commissioners and all.
Morning.
I just wanted to give you a brief update on some of the happenings at the Arts Center. We have been working on our 2021 calendar, and taking a look at our programming and what we may be able to accomplish this year. Hopefully we will be able to fold our Imaginations Children's Art Program, classes, arts and crafts revival program, edible art with Chef Pete, etc. We are also looking at our exhibitions and various events, of course, all tying to what COVID-19 protocols allow. In addition to that, our first community event that is up for discussion is the Easter egg hunt on the lawn that everyone will likely remember is our community kids coming and the fire department sounding the alarm and releasing the kids to collect the eggs. We don't know if that's going to be an option this year or not, but I just wanted to raise that with you, and we will continue to work on that, and of course, once that's decided, share that information. In the meantime, during our quiet time, as we call it, we have been working on significant improvements, restoration, and maintenance work within the property, including renovating some of the bathrooms, improving some of the structural failures, got great donations for new plumbing fixtures, things like that. So we're excited once we're able to reopen to share that with everyone. In addition, we are about to submit paperwork to the recorder's office for the Commission for Cultural Centers and Historic Preservation Grant. We received $100,000 from them that will address our front porch, the main entrance that does not have pitching, creating some sort of slope for drainage and then replacing that with appropriate materials, restoration of our print room, restoring the east facade windows of the primary building, and repointing the chimney brick, which in my lens tends to kick bricks down onto the parking lot. So that is coming up within this next year and a half. We're going to focus the majority of it, hopefully this spring and summer, especially when we're closed in July to accommodate the Story County State Historic Preservation Office collaboration for the historical work that's being done by interns, and they will be staying with us at the Arts Center. In the meantime, we are also focusing on other projects, including we're hoping to reopen the staff stairwell, which any of you familiar with the building know that it's closed off and has been for longer than I can remember. And hopefully that will help us improve traffic and social distancing during the pandemic. And other than that, we, of course, are always working to seek grants and funding opportunities. So I just wanted to give you a brief update since we haven't checked in a bit. And do you have any questions?
Thank you very much, Erica. Any of my fellow commissioners have any questions for Erica?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you again for being here, Erica. Appreciate it. Moving on to the Justice Court. We have the judge with us this morning. I do not see her. We will move on to the DA's office. We have anything from either DA Langer or...
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Well, the only thing I have to add today is to Joe Curtis's weather report. As you probably know, I don't know if you know, today is Groundhog's Day. And in Poxitani, Pennsylvania, for the last 134 years, the groundhog comes out and tells us whether we have 6 more weeks of winter or we're going into spring. So, sorry to say, 6 more weeks of winter. That's all I have for you.
Did the groundhog say anything about COVID?
No, but he looked good. He looked good for 134 years old.
Sweet. No mask?
A lot of masks, except for the 3 people that were speaking up front.
All right. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Moving on to the county manager. County Manager Osborne, what do you have for us today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne. Just a couple of things that Jennifer, us, and the team are working on for capital improvements for the next coming year. And I'll just list them. There's others. Lockwood Tower Road easement, that is moving forward. It's in the middle of getting mapped out and a survey done. And at that point, it'll go to the LCC, and the county for consideration. The Lockwood Senior Center upgrade / commercial kitchen and other improvements discussion is still going on. With spring approaching, we'll be able to hold a couple of public workshops in warmer weather, but that project's moving along, and so far it appears that the community down there does want to improve that center. Sheriff and I have spoke about potentially making some reasonable improvements to the sheriff's substation down in Lockwood, just to clean it up, maybe upgrade the building a little bit, put some reasonable parking and, you know, a few shrubs and things like that to add to the community. The Highlands Fire Station, Mike Norton talked about that. Mark Twain Flood Program and the Lockwood Flood Program are both dependent on either Carson Water Subconservancy District membership and also us working with the Truckee River Flood Management folks. Those are two big projects that are coming up that will, they may exceed into the millions of dollars, but we'll be seeking grant money from FEMA and other sources for those. So it is moving forward in planning. The BC Freight Depot, Mike and Public Works have been working with folks down there to get sprinklers installed, and that's moving along just fine. The Fairgrounds Road is in escrow right now to get that easement purchased so we can access the fairgrounds. The USGS water study in the Highlands proceeds on, and there will be a fourth year update coming from the USGS folks momentarily. And then the comprehensive South and Central Sterling County Water Master Plan from the Highlands South is still moving forward. Drafts will be ready shortly for public review and other scrutiny. Should take note, waste management, there's, if anybody knows of illegal dumping that's going on around the county, our franchise agreement, waste management provides six free illegal dump site cleanups. So I'll just take a couple pictures of that and send it our way, and we'll deal with that. And then last, there, we're still working with a lands bill in Mark Twain that's affecting some of the Mark Twain Estates homeowners. And that will be a lands bill that right now Amade's office is taking lead on. Senator Cortez Masto's office is also involved with in getting that moved forward, but it's tied with other lands bills in the area. So there's more to say on that, but that is moving forward. It's at the pace of Congress, and we know what's going on in Congress right now. But nevertheless, the conversations are happening. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. My fellow commissioners have any questions for Austin?
No, thank you.
No questions.
All right. Thanks again for that update, Austin. Last but not least, County Clerk Vanessa, do you have anything? Have anything?
Nothing today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. With that, we're going to move on to item number 9. This is board comment, no action or public comment. I'm going to start with Commissioner Gilman out there in Zoom land.
Nothing today, thank you.
All right. Vice Chair Mitchell, do you have anything?
I think the only thing I'd like to say is just I appreciate the community pulling together, especially with this weather that we've had recently. Saw lots of people out and about helping neighbors and just helping out in the community, and it means a lot. So thank you.
Indeed. I'm just going to make mention for those that don't know, he has been a staple on the boardwalk for as long as I've been here, and that's pushing 20 years. But the gentleman, affectionately named Stinky, apparently has some medical issues and will be in sort of a facility down in Reno, so we will not see him on the boardwalk. For those that are interested in maybe getting a message over to Stinky's family, his daughter is on Facebook. I apologize, I don't have, you know, direction on how to get you there, but if you search the VC page, I'm sure you'll come across the post. But I'm not sure that he'll be back. But either way, just wanted to make note in case anybody wonders where he and Bernadette have gone, or Bernadine. So that's all I have. Moving on to item number 10, which is discussion only. Item number 10 is a presentation by Lisa K. Taylor, PhD, assistant professor and extension educator at UNR Reno College of Agriculture, Biotechnology and Natural Resources in Carson City, Story County Extension, summarizing the results of UNR's Extension Program Needs Assessment. Lisa, you are on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am hopeful of being able to reveal
my face to you.
There you go.
I want to thank Chairman Carmen, certainly Vice Chairman Mitchell, and Commissioner Gilman for being able to talk with you today about the results of our needs assessment. I'd like to share my screen right now with a PowerPoint presentation that might guide and certainly help us visualize the actual presentation. This Story County Extension Needs Assessment would not have been possible without the wonderful support of certainly you as the commissioners, as well as your staff members, whether it's Stacy York or Laura from the Community Resource Group, or certainly your emergency manager. We've had some wonderful opportunities to not only shape some great programs that people have, I think, joined us for, as well as to work with your community residents and leaders. We did have 150 participants for this particular survey. We had stakeholders who helped us shape the questions, and business leaders, definitely community chess, and certainly your community center librarians have been helping us as partners. And we also had some resource managers from across Story County, and certainly the grant funders who help us make this all possible. The purpose of our needs assessment was to engage community residents and stakeholders, to gain data so that it can drive our programs and activities for the future, and certainly to prioritize what might be best to spend our time and efforts to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our Story County communities. We did use a mixed methods design, so we used the same questionnaire for both our Story County assessment, our Carson City assessment, and we also joined Douglas County because of Lindsay Chichester, who had been the person in my position before I had come. This convergent parallel design just means that we were doing both surveys and interviews at the same time. And we did do person-to-person. We promoted our actual assessment in newspapers, online media sources. We got a lot of information out there from the community and certainly used social media. And also it was links that were provided by stakeholders that helped us acquire people's responses. We did also have 28 interviews, and we had wonderful support from Story County to be able to look at the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that our community members had about certainly the community's status and where they would want the future to be. The average age of our participants was 51. We had 65% female and 33% male. We did have 2% that did not respond. And then the majority of our respondents were white Caucasian. They did also come from two or more races. And then there was Hispanic, Latino, Asian, and American Indian responses in our data that we received. That is in comparison to certainly some data from the community that the average age was 43. There is a more of an equal number of females to males, and we had a little less Caucasian than the average, but we did have a little bit more in the areas of Asian, American Indian, and African American respondents. And though there is Hispanic Latino presence of 24.8% based on the census, we had only 3% response from Hispanic Latino families or respondents. And that would be one area we definitely would be working on for future assessments to ensure that we're more reflective of the actual community at large. Our programs would not be possible without the NRS statute 549. And so our assessment was focused on these six areas: agriculture, community development, health and nutrition, horticulture, natural resources, and personal and family development. And I want to thank Joe Curtis for his photographs. He's quite the photographer that we really appreciated him sharing his photographs. Every part of our program assessment actually looked at different priorities. And certainly the survey, which was reflected in the blue areas, when you have a chance to look at the actual report, you'll see that that area actually reflects from top to bottom the priorities of 11 different options that we provided to the survey participants. And then the other three, the brown, the gray, and the yellow, represent information that was provided to us by through a fill-in part of the survey. And so health and nutrition has been a primary area where we have worked with many people in Story County over the past 2 years. And so what came out as the highest priority for our programs was access to nutritious food, food on a budget, and fitness and exercise. And when we look at that high priority for healthful food, seniors and those that may be at risk were ones that were prioritized by the survey respondents. Health, weight management, and nutrition education were also important parts that were offered by individuals from the survey. And that there was, they also wanted education about decreasing food waste and preserving water quality. Another area that we thought was significant from the findings in the study were natural resources needs, especially in the areas of wildfire prevention education, maintaining water quality and pollution prevention, and definitely looking at how to preserve in the best way possible green open space and agricultural spaces. Now, we have been already starting some education about best practices coexisting with wildlife, native birds, and horses in urban settings, conservation of open space, and definitely STEM education for our youth, especially in the areas of natural and formal camp environments. As you may be aware, we do have a 4-H camp, both on the Lake Tahoe area, adjoining the actual lake, but we do also have opportunities for youth to do day camps and other sorts of events out in nature, so that we are looking at that to be expanded this next year. Another critical area that came up in the survey for Story County was personal and family development. STEM education was interwoven throughout both the survey and the interviews, and we are members of the Nevada STEM Network. And we're working and going to have an actual tour to reinforce that information with our extension staff in the future, actually February 12th. Also, another priority was affordable youth activities, definitely 4-H. And in some places, we also work with a program called FFA. Workforce skills development and training is critical also, and that has been prioritized. As you look to the right about relevant career awareness, vocational training, looking at how to provide certifications, shadowing experiences, and apprenticeships. Financial management is another training area that they had identified as important, as well as looking at how to align kindergarten through college curriculum to help make sure that we're actually meeting the needs of our businesses and communities out at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The results of the 28 stakeholder interviews talked about the fact that there was a tremendous amount of community assets that we should be working to optimize and certainly support as we looked at the residents also being positive community members and they have so many attributes to share and work with. And then another area that came out of the stakeholders was that the citizens are the consumers requiring services, and that in many places, services are available, and so people are attracted to our areas, like the major communities in Story County. And so we need to look carefully at consumerism as another component of our trainings. There are implications of a growing population and workforce, and that their community resources are going to be important ones that they will be relying upon, but also to help people be aware of what the excellent resources are in Story County. There are some infrastructure requirements that they were saying were just part of the needs of the community, and that whether it's roads, whether or not it's looking at the management of parks, or whether or not it was other critical services, that continues to be a priority for certainly their requests and the monetary support that's needed for them. And the last one in general is they were saying that we need to offer a breadth of educational opportunities, and that quality of life and improving that, whether you're talking about infants and toddlers or people that are older adults, those are things that we should be thinking about in our programs and activities. One quote they said was, "We're open to nutrition programs providing fruit and beverages such as after school and in school. Also education and drought-tolerant plants, how to plant them, and helping them thrive in desert environments is a key issue, and that certainly we could be focusing on gardening and other natural resource-related management activities." This actual assessment, we had quantitative, which was service parts to our assessment activities. It was qualitative because we asked people to interview with us, and we also had the responses that were provided that people wrote into the surveys. And then we also had qualitative information with regard to, we asked them as a last part, how to tell us what were the top needs, and they wrote in those considerations. The priorities of all the findings: youth programming, 4-H, after-school education, our traditional clubs continue to be things that they see of great value. Also, providing gardening, master gardening. We have a Grow Your Own program called Growing Education. And we also have natural resource preservation. How can we be planting more trees? How can we be stopping pollution? How can we be preserving our water and its quality? And then providing and supporting programs like those offered at the Senior Center for food preparation, nutrition, exercise and wellness, and definitely looking at how we can help people who may not have a lot of land, how to provide urban food or food for themselves, even though they may not actually have a complete yard. Maybe it's just on their porch or even in their apartment or home. Community collaborations, definitely a suggested opportunity, and looking at how to involve more volunteers and people from the community, and also staging activities and programs in support, and that could be, I may have mentioned the fairgrounds. I know that at one point in time we used that facility, but it may be that we could support some existing programs or be involved with them that might be held out in that area. And then water quality, water conservation, and water pollution prevention. And I want to make sure, if I didn't say it, that one of the most critical was wildfire prevention. Oops, I'm sorry. The last one, we already are putting those results to work. whether it's collaborating with your schools to do programs that we have been working towards called Produce Pick of the Month, working with food banks and donating or helping people understand the donation opportunities that are available, and certainly the wonderful resources that are distributed through your senior center, and with working in coordination with what had been RSVP's programs. I know they're under new management, but they definitely have some great folks to work with. And then, of course, we couldn't do it without Community Chest and all the things they have done to help and support us. There are other civic organizations and arts and institutions that we'd like to learn more about. And we do regularly work with your conservation district to ensure that people understand the resources there and potential programs that could benefit. 4-H youth development and our STEM education programs, we are continuing to do virtual nutrition and strength and conditioning programs. We also have right now a gardening virtual Tuesday chat that's in the evenings. And we are looking at inviting individuals from Story County specifically to participate in the Rural Family Resilience Study. And there's a related training that could also be provided as a part of that. And that's a national study we were just invited to participate in. And then we do have all the resources for Living with Fire. Right now, we have the distribution program for the radon test kits. And we are working to find the right dates with Stacy so that we can offer those through the senior centers, both in Lockwood and certainly in Virginia City, and whether there's another location that others might suggest. We also consult, and as I do on a regular basis, with individuals who have questions and concerns related to horticulture. And we have those very low or moderate cost, grow your own virtual classes. And many people participate in our pesticide management training. And we are going to be offering this year home child care provider training, especially related to preventing abuse and increasing family resilience. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to provide our results. There's definitely more that we have in a larger report, which is 51 pages long, but I'm so appreciative of the opportunity to at least share what we learned and what we are ready to implement in the coming months. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Lisa. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Lisa?
I just had one question, Lisa. And since I'm new, is this needs assessment? Is that something that you do on a regular interval, or is it a periodic thing? And is there a specific impetus for it, or is it primarily to guide the activities of the extension?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing is that it has not been conducted in over 12 years, which is why we were so ready to try and complete our needs assessment as soon as possible after I came. So it's normally to be between 5 and 8 years. And it's not to be an effort that's put on the shelf, but in essence, we are to be reaching out and doing more learning and understanding of the community through other evaluation emphases through those 5 to 8 years, so that we're planning on doing focus groups. One of the reasons we were so interested in the family resilience study is that we think it's going to help us learn more about the Story County families. So that's one area. And then also, these findings are for the community. And that's why we are starting with you to educate, but certainly we'll be working very concertedly to share them with all of your organizations, because the information could be very advantageous and informative for them as well.
Perfect. Thank you. And I just had one suggestion, and that was if you wanted to add a location for radon test kits, the Mark Twain Community Center might be an avenue to get out to another community here in Story County. They have a board, and we can put you in touch with them if that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. And I would love, was that Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Offer
or Commissioner Carmona?
Commissioner Mitchell.
Thank you. I'm sorry. My screen was black at the time you were saying that.
No problem.
So my apologies. Wonderful. We'd be happy to do that.
Very good.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, did you have any questions for Lisa?
I have no questions, Jerry. Thank you.
All right. And neither do I. Thank you, Lisa, for joining us, and thank you for giving us that detailed update on the programs that you're a part of. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Moving on to item number 11. This is for discussion and possible action. consideration and possible action regarding inmate food service vendors for the remainder of 2021 and into 21 and 22. Sheriff, would you like to take the lead on this?
Good morning again, commissioners. For just by way of a little bit of background, for years we've struggled with providing nutritious meals for the inmates, meeting all of the nutritional requirements. We had a vendor at one point in time that was providing everything that we needed. However, they were out of state, and by the time that we got the goods, the shipping was more than the actual product. So it didn't work out too well and considering the spending of tax dollars. So we've put it out a few times locally, and we did some work in the past with a local provider, and then that just kind of went by the wayside. So lately we've been doing like the Hungry Man TV dinners, which is probably about the worst nutritional stuff you can get, coming off the heels of that presentation by the Extension Center. Every year at budget time, we reach out to potential local providers to see if there's an interest. And this year we did have some interest. One of the bidders was priced out of business. The other two that we did receive bids on were the Senior Center and the Roasting House. They were given what the criteria is, what it is that we need, nutrition, calories per day, per inmate, and everything. And they both submitted bids and what their program would consist of. I've spoken with both providers. I think either one of them would do an exceptional job. Of course, most of us have imbibed over at the Senior Center a few times, and we know the quality product that Stacy puts out over there. For those who haven't been to the Roasting House, they also put out a quality product. So it made it real hard to make a decision as to who to recommend. In getting some feedback from other county personnel, looking this over, the Roasting House did come back basically 70 cents per inmate per day cheaper. So it's a little bit cheaper with the Roasting House than the Senior Center. A little bit difference in the quality of service, whereas the Roasting House would provide us with fresh food 7 days a week. The Senior Center would do that throughout the week and then have prepared meals that would be delivered in advance for the weekends and holidays when they're normally closed. So all in all, like I said, Stacy does an exceptional job and look forward to, further discussions with her in the future. But I would recommend that we look at the Roasting House for providing inmate meals. Also with the money that is being spent on that, whereas the Senior Center gets some subsidies from the county. They're also eligible for grant funding from various resources. The Roasting House does not have access to that, so our tax dollars would be going back into the community more in a direct way, helping our local businesses, especially in light of what's been going on for the past year now. So I'm happy to take any questions, but my recommendation would be to award a contract to the Roasting House. What I would like to do, this will be for fiscal year 22, beginning July 1st through the following June 30th, but We have ample money in the budget right now that I'd like to start that as soon as they're able to tool up for it. Because, like I said, those Hungry Man meals are just horrific and want to get away from them as quickly as we can.
Thank you, Sheriff. Before I reach out to my fellow commissioners, is there any public comment regarding this item? I'll give it just another minute here. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding this item?
No questions. It sounds to me like the sheriff has done more than adequate research and analyzing where the best opportunities are. I certainly agree that supporting our local community is very important. So I'm inclined to go forward and approve his recommendation.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Jerry?
No, thank you. I think I'll just echo what Commissioner Gilman said. I think it's an excellent opportunity to reinvest, if you will, some taxpayer dollars back into the community, as into the private sector here locally. And I'm pleased that we have options locally that can meet the requirements. So,
all right, you are making it. You've almost got some incentive to get locked up in jail, Jerry. good food, at least. You know, I'm going to concur with my... Yeah, thank you. I'm going to agree with my other commissioners. I mean, you know, it's definitely a toss-up between the senior center and the roasting house, but, you know, if there's a way that we can get back to at least some or one of our merchants, I'm in agreement with that. So it seems like we're all on the same page. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the inmate approve the roasting house as the inmate food service vendor for the remainder of the 2021 fiscal year and continuing into the 21-22 fiscal year.
There's a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sheriff, for that information. Thank you.
Chairman?
Yeah. Yes.
I believe you're moving on to item 12.
Yes.
And, I just wanted to note for the record that I hold a pecuniary interest in some of the businesses that are under consideration here, and I think it would be prudent, abundance of caution, that I recuse from discussing this issue and voting on it. So I'll join the audience at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. All right. Item number 12, this is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval, Resolution 21-601, providing for in-county general liquor, cabaret, brothel, and gaming business license fee reimbursement, generally equivalent to the amount paid for two quarters of fees by businesses principally impacted by the use restriction or closure due to the COVID-19 pandemic and related to the declaration of emergency directives issued by the governor. This is the second of two hearings on this resolution. Austin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, County Manager. I gave a summary of this at the last meeting during the first hearing. Just a recap of what this is really just COVID recovery for our small businesses across the county, providing an equivalent or near equivalent 50% reimbursement for business licenses across the board for all business types. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
All right, thank you. Before I reach out to my fellow commissioners, is there any public comment regarding this? Not seeing any public comments. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding this item?
He's not included in this.
Oh, excuse me. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions on this item?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't have any questions. I made a few comments the last time that we heard this. I think that if there are things we can do to reduce tax burden on tax fees on our local business community as a result of restrictions or reduction in business volume, I think that's the right move. I did not mention last time, and I probably should just in an effort at full transparency, I do not have any sort of conflict in this. I am a small business owner, but because the business is mobile and substantially all of my business is outside of the county, all of my licensing is either at the state level or in other jurisdictions, and so I would not be affected directly in a financial way from this decision. And so with that in mind, I certainly would like to hear if there's any input from the public, and maybe we can open it up again, but I believe that this is the right direction to go, and I feel comfortable in discussing with staff that the fiscal impact would not materially hurt the county's operations or service levels.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chairman Mitchell. I will echo my sentiments from last 2 weeks. I think this is good. I know it's not going to solve everybody's problems, but it's a way for the county to try to help some of the local businesses during this historic time. That is all I have. If there are any other questions, speak your piece now. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you like to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve Resolution 21-601, providing for in-county general, liquor, cabaret, brothel, and gaming business license fee reimbursement, generally equivalent to the amount paid for two quarters of fees by businesses principally impacted by use restriction or closures due to the COVID-19 pandemic and related to the declaration of emergency directives issued by the governor.
All right. We have a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Austin. Moving on to item number 14, we are going to recess to convene as a Story County Fire Protection District. That brings us to item number 15. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of disposal by means of auction, donation, sale, or trade in of surplus district fire apparatus and vehicles. Chief Longcar, you have the floor.
Okay, I've presented five pieces right now that we currently have, and they're all in various states of disarray or usage. That's kind of where the wording came for the recommended motion. Some are usable. They do have a lot of age to them, a lot of miles. Some are used strictly as parts vehicles. So in trying to thin down our fleet, some are better sent to a scrapyard where others could go to an auction. We do have somewhat of an offer for a trade-in that would help us with our current ambulance that's being built right now. And then coming up, I would also like to keep an option available to donate some of our usable equipment that just serve no more purpose for the county, but can definitely help our neighbors and smaller agencies around, just a way of kind of sharing and helping some of our neighboring fire departments. But the five pieces listed right now, this is kind of my start. And I will answer any questions you guys have about these pieces of equipment that are listed.
All right, thank you, Jeremy. Before I go to the commissioners, is there anybody in the public that has a question? Sheriff Antonoro, you have your hand raised.
Longcar, will this get rid of some of that stuff that's being stored down by the detention center?
Yes, it will, Sheriff. That one I have listed here is 2006 Ford F-350 that's a flatbed. It is located down there, and you see it all the time. We've been using it for parts. It's pretty stripped. There's still some useful items on it that we're going to maintain, but for the most part, I just want to kind of clean up some of the mess we have around.
Okay. That's why I was asking. I want to try and get some of that cleaned up down there also. Thank you.
All right. Is there any other comments regarding this item? Not seeing any. I'm going to go to Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any comments regarding this?
I think it's a great idea. Cleanup is important. I love the idea of either sharing with some of our surrounding communities that don't have the equipment and or turning a little bit of this these assets into cash is great. I'm 100%
supportive of Jeremy's plan.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
All right, and I do not have anything either, except for I'm glad to see the spring cleaning has taken effect, and hopefully we can get a little bit for it. So with that said, Vice Chairman, if you'd like to entertain a motion.
Be happy to. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the disposal of the five surplus fire district apparatus and vehicles listed below or listed in the staff summary by means of auction, donation, sale, or trade-in.
I'll second that motion.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. Moving on now to item number 16, we're going to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Brings us up to item number 17, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the second reading of Bill number 125, Ordinance 20-314, text amendments to Story County Code Title 17, Zoning Districts E for Estate, F for Forestry, and NR for Natural Resources, which include modifications and clarifications regarding the minimum floor area, text amendments to the P for Public Zone for modification and clarification of setbacks and other properly related matters. Kathy?
Yes, good morning again. So
morning.
This is the code amendment that's related to the resident sizes within the estates, the forestry, and the natural resources zones, subject to specific criteria being met. This also modifies the public zone setbacks to be consistent with the other zoning districts. The board approved the first reading of this January 19th, 2021, and we haven't had any comments or inquiries on this since that meeting. And staff and the Planning Commission are recommending approval.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Before going to my fellow commissioners, is there any comments from anyone in the public regarding this item? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy?
I do not. In as much as this is the second reading, and we've certainly reviewed this during the last commission meeting, so I think this is just kind of the cleanup. Thank you.
Indeed. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No. No. Thank you.
All right. And I don't have anything either. So, Chairman Mitchell, Vice Chairman Mitchell, if you'd like to entertain a motion.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading of Bill 125, Ordinance 20-314, text amendments to Story County Code Title 17, Zoning Districts E, Estate, F, Forestry, and NR Natural Resources, which...
Before we go further, sorry about this. Kathy, did you read the title at the beginning?
I can read it again. I thought Jay had, but I'll read it again just to be on the same side.
Yeah.
So this is the second reading of Bill 125, Ordinance 20-314, an ordinance amending provisions of Story County Code Title 17 to establish the minimum square footage for residences in the estate, natural resources, and forestry zones, and modifying setback requirements in the public zone and providing for other matters properly related thereto.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just say ditto? Is that... That's all right. I'll start over. Thank you. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading of Bill 125, Ordinance 20-314, text amendments to the Story County Code, Title 17, Zoning Districts E, Estate, F, Forestry, and NR Natural Resources, which include modifications and clarifications regarding the minimum floor area, text amendments to the P Public Zone for modifications and clarifications of setbacks and other property-related matters.
I second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy.
Aye, thank you.
All right, that brings us on to item number 18. This is for discussion and for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the purchase of Vadio Soft Conference Systems from Justice AV Solutions Incorporated. The VADIO system would be an upgrade to the current audio-visual system in the district courtroom, allowing for the integration of Zoom. Total purchase price not to exceed $5,409.71. Clerk Stevens, you have the floor.
Good morning. So I reached out to Jazz, which is the provider of our current video audio-visual system in the courtroom. They have this system called VADIO that would allow us to integrate Zoom so we could use the cameras and microphones that are already in place in the courtroom, getting us away from small webcam. So this could be used by the commissioners, the planning commission, and the district court. So I'm requesting that we approve the purchase.
Great. Thank you, Vanessa. Are there any comments from the public before I reach out to the commission? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything to say regarding this item?
Well, my approach, Jay, is that we've entered this world of Zoom, and I don't think any of us can tell how long it may be and how much longer we have to consider doing business this way. So I believe the upgrade is certainly worth the investment of $5,400, and I'm in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
Just two comments. And the first one is I did a little bit of digging as far as the prices of the components and found them to be in line. And so I think that the pricing is competitive on it. And the second thing that I'm actually pretty excited about is that this, if I understand it correctly, paves the way for us to be able to stream meetings ongoing. And that has been one of my priorities, to allow people who are in other parts of the county to have easier access to participate in our public meetings and not have to make the drive up here, but to still be involved in the public process. And so I think this is a good direction to go. And maybe down the road, I, as one of my duties, I'm on the Rail Commission, and we met in Carson City's chambers, and they've got all sorts of fancy whoop-de-doop-de stuff that they've upgraded down there. And I don't necessarily think we need to go that far, but I think this is a kind of an essential piece. So I'm in support of this.
Indeed. My fellow commissioners, I feel exactly the same way. We all hope this COVID stuff goes away. When it does, I believe that this is going to be how business is handled going forward. So to me, it's a worthwhile investment. Now that we've gotten folks used to being able to log on and watch the meeting rather than coming down here, or folks making the trip from Lockwood, I think it's a fantastic, we're definitely moving in the right direction. So I, again, in full support. Vice Chairman Mitchell, if you want to entertain a motion.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the purchase of the VADIOsoft conference system for use in the district courtroom. Total purchase price not to exceed $5,409.71.
I second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second.
Mr. Chair, just a point of order. Did I see that the cost on this would be shared with the court, or are we supporting the cost on this fully?
So it's fully out of the county budget, but I'm using my district court and clerk budget, which are separate, to split the cost.
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Vanessa, for that. Moving on to item number 19. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the second reading for general business licenses for Fire Protection Service Corporation, DBA Mountain Alarm, P.O. Box 14287, Ogden, Utah, 84403 is the zip code. Sheriff?
Commissioners, this is an alarm company, so we call it through the sheriff's office. This company has been in business for about 60 years over in Utah. They recently acquired a couple of businesses that are here in northern Nevada, and are now just rolling it all up into their singular business under the business name of Mountain Alarm. So nothing that appears to be improper with their background investigation, so we would recommend their approval.
Thank you, Sheriff. Are there any public comments regarding this before we move forward? All right, not seeing any. Any of the commissioners have any questions?
No, thank you.
Oh. All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading for approval for a general business license for Fire Protection Service Corporation DBA Mountain Alarm, located at P.O. Box 14287, Ogden, Utah, 84403.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sheriff. Moving on to item number 20. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the second reading for general business licenses for FDI Backflow Specialist, DBA Trophy Peak Fire Protection, located at 5355 Louis Lane in Reno, NV 89511. We have either Austin or Martin on this.
I think it's the sheriff again.
No, it's you.
Sorry.
Fire systems installation and monitoring system falls under the alarms. Again, they've been in business in Northern Nevada for about 50 years. My understanding is they were contracted to do some installation here in Story County. So now that they have business in Story County, they want to get a Story County business license, so hopefully to get further business. But again, nothing in their background that would preclude them from having a license, so we recommend approval.
All right, thank you, Sheriff. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, entertain a motion, please.
Absolutely. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading for approval of a general business license for FDI Backflow Specialists, DBA Trophy Peak Fire Protection, located at 5355 Louis Lane in Reno, Nevada, 89511.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sheriff. This brings us on to item number 21. This is discussion for possible action. consideration and approval of business license second readings, A through K. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you want to entertain a motion?
Sure. Unless Commissioner Gilman has anything to say.
Lance, did you have anything?
Thank you, Clay.
Yep, you're welcome. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading of submitted business license applications listed as numbers A through K on this item on the agenda.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 22, public comment. Is there anybody out there in the audience that has any public comment for us today? I believe Jennifer Agnew from Lockwood, you have your hand raised?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. This is Jennifer Agnew. I live down in Rainbow Bend in Lockwood. Back on, it was agenda item 12, resolution 21601. I just wanted to comment and say thank you to Commissioner Gilman for disclosing and recusing and explaining his possible conflicts there, as well as to Commissioner Mitchell for clarifying that his business interest did not pose any kind of a possible conflict in this situation. So I just I want to thank basically the whole commissioner board of commissioners for trying to stay and keep up on the ethical high road. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Are there any other comments from the public? All right, not seeing any. I'm going to give my fellow commissioners one last opportunity in case they forgot anything.
No, thank you.
No? All right. With that said, I will call it at 11:50 a.m. This meeting is adjourned. We will see you in a couple weeks.